If you would please turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 15. My passage is shorter this morning. We're going to look at verses 36 through 41. Acts 15, 36 through 41. Keep your hand here. We will be back. This is my text. And as I read it, I will remind you that this is the Word of God. Acts 15, verse 36. After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return and visit the brethren in every city in which we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are." Barnabas wanted to take John, called Mark, along with them also. But Paul kept insisting that they should not take him along, who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And there occurred such a sharp disagreement that they separated from one another. And Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and left, being committed by the brethren to the grace of the Lord. And he was traveling through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Let's pray. Lord, as we come to this part of the book of Acts, for so long it had been Paul and Barnabas, Paul and Barnabas, Paul and Barnabas. But from this point on, it's Paul and Silas. Now, Lord, we're going to speak to that, why that happened and what happened, but Lord, on a positive note, from the team of Paul and Barnabas came two teams. Paul and Silas went one direction. Barnabas and Mark went a second direction. And Lord, although we're not given details of Barnabas and Mark, because the storyline shifts to Paul and Silas, but God, we are thankful that even more cities and towns and regions got to hear the gospel. This wasn't planned. This wasn't foreseen. But in your providence, in your sovereignty, God, good comes from what appeared to be bad. So I just pray that this morning, as we look at this short little snippet of a biographical story, that you would teach us that there is something here for us to glean also, God. So open our eyes to the truth of your word, I pray. Amen. If I could draw your attention to verse 39. Verse 39. It says, "And there occurred such a sharp disagreement that they separated from one another. And Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus." Now we will fill in the details of this shocking development in a moment. But let's allow this verse to sink in. Paul and Barnabas were a team, the first missionary team. Paul owed much to Barnabas. In Acts chapter 4, we're introduced to a man named Joseph of Cyprus. You don't know that name. You don't recognize that name because he had a nickname. His nickname was Barnabas. He got that nickname because Barnabas means son of encouragement. Barnabas was an encourager. And we see that in Acts chapter 4. The early church, a lot of the believers needed physical assistance. And he sold some property and donated to the congregation. He was an encourager. He's the one who stood up for Saul, now we know as Paul, when he was a new convert. When Saul arrived in Jerusalem after his Damascus Road experience, the church didn't trust him. They were afraid of him. They kept their distance from him. And it was Barnabas, the son of encouragement, who stepped in and said, "Listen, you need to hear this man's testimony. I vouch for this man. God has saved him for a purpose. He's going to do great work among the Gentiles. That's Barnabas, the son of encouragement. When the door to the Gentiles opened up in Antioch, Syria, it was Barnabas who determined to find Paul and bring him there. We read that in Acts chapter 12. He searched for him. He went to where, found where Paul was and brought him to the church at Antioch. When the church at Antioch began to pray and fast for the right people to launch their missionary outreach, the Holy Spirit led them to Paul and Barnabas. Look back at chapter 13. Look at particularly verse 2. Acts 13, 2. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." You notice at this point it's Barnabas who is in the lead, and Saul eventually will become Paul. Saul is his Hebrew name. Paul was more of the Roman name. But nevertheless, again, it was Barnabas and Saul, or Barnabas and Paul. And at the beginning, it was Barnabas first, then Saul. Did you know that after Peter and Paul, the third most frequently mentioned character in the book of Acts is Barnabas, the son of encouragement? Now we do see, as we follow Barnabas and Saul in Acts chapter 13, that there is a subtle change, perhaps. It's Paul who does all the speaking. Look at Acts 13, 9. "But Saul, who was known as Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, fixed his gaze on him." So even though Barnabas is in the lead, it's Paul who rises to the front. Verse 13, "Then Paul and his companions set out to sea from Paphos and came to Perga and Pamphylia, but John left them and returned to Jerusalem." Here it's Paul and his companions. But throughout the rest of the chapter, it's always Paul and Barnabas, Paul and Barnabas. But they were a team. Paul had his gifts, Barnabas had his gifts. Barnabas was the son of encouragement, Paul was the exhorter, the preacher, the theologian. Yet when we come to our text, Paul and Barnabas split. Now the question that concerns us this morning is why? Why was this tandem? Why was this great team who complemented each other? Why all of a sudden are they having dissension? Why are they having disagreement? Why did they split? Well, it's because of a kid named John Mark, verse 36, Acts 15, 36. "After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let us return and visit the brethren in every city in which we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are.'" Now, he's referring to what we would call his first missionary journey. Paul's first missionary journey, he and Barnabas went to the various cities. They proclaimed the word of the Lord. People became believers. Paul and Barnabas ended up back at Antioch. After an amount of time, Paul said, "Hey, let's go back and see how they're doing. Let's go back and see how the churches are doing, seeing how the believers are doing." And Barnabas, the son of encouragement, said, "That's a great idea. Let's do that, and let's take John Mark." Okay. Verse 37, "Barnabas wanted to take John called Mark along with him. But Paul kept insisting that they should not take him along, who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work." They split over this kid named John Mark. Well, who was John Mark? What's his story? Well, John Mark started strong. All right, John Mark started strong. John Mark was a very promising young man. Go to Acts 12. We meet him for the first time in Acts chapter 12. And we find that he had a lot of advantages. He had a lot going for him. Okay. Acts 12:12, he had the advantage of a good home. Acts 12:12. And when he realized this, Peter, who was just miraculously released from prison, broken out of prison by the angel, and when he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, who was also called Mark, where they were gathered together and were praying. He came from a good home. We are introduced to John Mark at a prayer meeting. At his home, there's a prayer meeting. That's where we first hear this name of John Mark. He came from a good home. He came from a growing congregation, a growing church. Look down at verse 24, Acts 12:24. But the word of the Lord continued to grow and be multiplied. So he had a good home. He had a growing church. He had a godly family. Again, verse 12. And when he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, who is also called Mark. Now, his mom's name was Mary. We don't know anything about his father. Maybe Mary was a widow, or her husband wasn't a believer. However, he did have a father figure who mentored him. His name is Barnabas. Colossians 4:10 tells us, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, sends you his greetings, and also Barnabas' cousin, Mark, about whom you received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. So Mark's cousin, older cousin, and again, the Greek doesn't make as clear distinctions among family titles as we do. He could have been his uncle, but nevertheless, he was the one who had mentored Mark. No surprise, of course, because Barnabas was an encourager. So he was related to John Mark. So John Mark had a good home, a growing church, a godly family, and he saw God at work. Now remember, Acts chapter 12 was about Peter getting busted out of prison. And Peter came back to John Mark's house to share the news how God had miraculously opened the prison doors. And in spite of the fact he had four soldiers whose specific three-hour shift was to guard him, Peter is standing at the door knocking. He had a God who was at work in their lives. He heard glorious testimonies. Verse 17, Acts 12:17. But motioning to them, Peter, with his hand to be silent, he described to them how the Lord had led him out of prison. And he said, report these things to James and the brethren. And he left and went to another place. So John Mark heard this glorious testimony of the Apostle Peter. Eventually, we're not surprised to read in verse 25 that he gave of himself. Verse 25, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem, and when they had fulfilled their mission, taking along with them John, who's also called Mark. So John Mark volunteered to go with them, to go with Barnabas and Saul, to go with Paul and Barnabas. 13:5. Acts 13:5. And when they reached Salamis, they began to proclaim the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews, and they also had John as their helper. So here's a young believer off to a great start, destined to do great things, you would think. So what a shock it must have been when John Mark messed up. John Mark was a promising young man who became a problem missionary. Look at Acts 13:13. Now when Paul and his companions put out to sea from Paphos and came to Perga in Pamphylia, but John left them and returned to Jerusalem. Now that in itself seems innocent enough. We don't know the details there. But when we compare it to Acts 15 and find that it's a cause of dissension between Paul and Barnabas, Paul says he deserted us. Right, this wasn't a mutually agreed upon separation. John Mark quit. He deserted them. He left. He went home. Clearly his term, his missionary term, as we think of it, was not up. He quit at the very beginning of Paul's first missionary journey. We don't know why. Maybe he got discouraged. Maybe he got homesick. Maybe he got seasick. Look at chapter 13, verse 4. And being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. Maybe he couldn't take the rough seas. Maybe he got scared. Look at verse 8. Then Elymas, the magician, for his name is translated, was opposing them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. So they ran into demonic opposition. Maybe he wasn't prepared for that. Maybe that scared him. My favorite always is, maybe he missed Rhoda. Say, well, who's Rhoda? Well, look back at chapter 12, verse 13. Acts 12, 12. And when he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, who is also called Mark, where many were gathered together and praying, and Peter knocked at the door of the gate. A servant girl named Rhoda came to answer. Maybe the young man had, affections for Rhoda. I don't know. But what we do know is he quit. Maybe he was uncomfortable among Gentiles. If you read Acts 13, they started out by going to the synagogue, but then they turned to the Gentiles. And maybe, let's be honest, being Jewish, maybe he didn't like that. Maybe he got tired of the pace. Maybe he had some sinful habit that made him embarrassed. I mean, when he was back home, listening to the stories, hearing the adventures, it all seemed so glamorous, so exciting. But maybe it didn't turn out that way. We don't know why, we just know he quit. We know he quit because of Acts 15 here in our text. There was dissension between Barnabas, his cousin, and Paul. Paul said, we're not taking him. He messed up. He deserted us in the work. No, I don't want to take him. He's a liability. Barnabas said, but he can learn from this. He can grow from this. I think it would be an encouragement. If he wants to go again, let's take him. And the disagreement was so sharp that the band broke up. Paul and Barnabas went their separate ways. He quickly learned that none of his advantages guaranteed spiritual success. None of his advantages guaranteed spiritual success. Again, we listed them. Good church, godly family, glorious testimonies. I mean, if anybody would have been a success, I mean, there was a reason they took him to start with. They thought that with all that he had been blessed with, he would be the perfect missionary. But John Mark found out that didn't guarantee success. When his faith was challenged, he lost hope. He apparently became a quitter. To make matters worse, Paul and Barnabas split because of him. Can you imagine how he felt? This is Paul and Barnabas we're talking about. They're about to embark on Paul's second missionary journey. And they're not going together. Paul goes one way, Barnabas, taking Mark with him, goes another. How do you think Mark felt about that? To be the cause of this breakup. Well, after he sets off with Barnabas, Mark's life gets a little sketchy. We don't have a ton of details. Because, as you know, starting at this point on, the story focuses on Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas, not Barnabas and Mark. We do know he spent time with the Apostle Peter. 1 Peter 5:13. She who is in Babylon, chosen together with you, this is Peter's writing, sends you greeting, and so does my son, Mark. Now, he's not his physical son, but he is his spiritual son. He apparently had taken a liking to Mark, and like Barnabas, wanted to encourage him and put him back into God's service. So he says, listen, the church greets everybody, but I specifically want to mention to you, Mark, my son. Now remember, Mark was there when Peter got busted out of jail, right? So maybe that established this relationship. Maybe Peter remembered the time when he failed the Lord. Right? But he denied the Lord three times. Maybe when Peter looked at Mark, he thought of his failure. And he was thankful that he'd got a second chance. And he wanted to give Mark a second chance. Well, we don't know that. We don't know a lot of the details. But we know that God is the God of second chances. God is the God of second chances. This is not Acts 15. It's not the end of Mark's story. We don't know Mark today because of his failures. There's another reason why we know John Mark. John Mark finished well. He went from being a problem missionary to a profitable minister. 2 Timothy 4:11. Only Luke is with. Now this is Paul writing. Previously it was Peter writing. Now this is Paul writing. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with you, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. This is Paul saying that. This is the same Paul who earlier said, I don't want this kid around. This is the same Paul who now says, hey, find Mark and bring him here. I need him. I need him. God is the God of second chances. John Mark was back serving the Lord. He is useful again. He is profitable for the ministry. I think, obviously, Paul forgave John Mark because God had forgiven John Mark. We read of him again in Philemon verse 24, as do Mark and my fellow workers. So again, Paul mentions him twice. Again, he mentions him in Philemon. So John Mark finished well. Paul eventually came to respect him and need him in the ministry. But that's not really why you know him today. You don't know him because he quit. You don't know him because of some obscure verse in Philemon. Did you ever read the book of Mark? Did you ever read the book of Mark? That's John Mark. Right? That's John Mark. In fact, those who, you know, theologians, as they look at the four Gospels, Mark wrote the second Gospel. As you know, that one of the criteria to be recognized as canon is either a book written by an apostle or a close associate of an apostle, right? So Mark wrote the Gospel of Mark. Many scholars believe he wrote it as Peter related to him. As Peter talked about his time following Jesus, Mark recorded it. It was Peter's memoir, if you will, but Mark is the author. So the Gospel of Mark is John Mark. Not John Mark the quitter, John Mark the author of the second gospel. that John Mark. Mark leaves a legacy of faithfulness. By the way, going back to Acts 12, when we first met him, did you ever think about this? So in Acts 12, Luke is describing the events of Peter's release. And he says, and Peter left and went to the prayer meeting, which is at Mary's house. Well, how many Marys are there in the Bible? How many Marys are there in the New Testament? How many Marys are there in the Gospel? Can't keep them straight, right? So Luke said, hey, I need a way to distinguish which Mary this is. Oh, everybody knows who John Mark is. I'll let them know that that's John Mark's mother. In other words, if people had never heard of John Mark, that would not help, right? But as Luke is writing the book of Acts, he realizes, oh, John Mark, they'll know who he is because he has a legacy of faithfulness. He's serving the Lord. And here, let me tell you which Mary I'm talking about. If he had just been a quitter, all right, we would never have heard of him. They would never have heard of him. That wouldn't have been any helpful information whatsoever. But God is the God of second chances. He demonstrates that God is the God of second chances. Now, you may not have any of the advantages that John Mark had. Maybe those things we saw about John Mark in Acts 12 don't apply to you at all. And maybe you will never be a missionary like John Mark was. It doesn't matter. God uses us in spite of our backgrounds. God uses us in spite of our failures. God is the God of second chances. Mark's story reminds us that no matter how we have faltered or failed in the past, God is in the business of restoration, transformation. We can find hope and encouragement in knowing that our failures do not define us. Instead, when we humbly turn to God, He can use us in remarkable ways. Never underestimate the potential for growth and maturity in your life. Regardless of our past failures or setbacks, God can still develop our character, deepen our faith, and use us for His purposes. God can still use you. God is the God of the second, third, fourth, and many more chances. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that there's more to Mark's story than just this one incident. Lord, we don't downplay the severity of it. It caused a dissension between Paul and Barnabas, but it wasn't the end of his story. And Lord, maybe there's some of us here who can identify. Maybe we've messed up, or we've had a setback, or we made a promise, or and we started a ministry, but something happened and it didn't work out, and now we wonder if you can still use us. You can use us. You will use us. So I thank you, God, that you are the God of a second chance. Amen.